This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Eleven o'clock in the great city of Chicago with Danny Zetterman, Christopher Bleck, and most importantly, all of you out there listening. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. We have a White Sox insider now on the station. And if you're going to either go big or go home. So we went and got the best. He is the great Chuck Garfine, NBC Sports Chicago, all over the White Sox, each and every game for many, many years. Our Chuck, how are you, my friend?
I'm great, Cap. It's great to hear your voice. Welcome back to the Chicagoland area.
Yep, I am working from home because the mayor has said, yep, if you were in one of these 15 states, I want you to not come in our city for 14 days. So that is where it's at, and I'm going to follow her directive. So let me ask you, we'll start. We've been having a lot of talk about Michael Kopech. Obviously, the Sun-Times got some exclusive quotes from Don Cooper. We're being told that it was addressed internally by Rick Hahn with Don. Do you feel like Don did anything wrong? Do you feel like he was just trying to support his guy because Michael's battles with anxiety or depression, he's talked about them before?
Yeah, I don't want to get into a wrong or right on this just because in the end, this is really about Michael Kopech, and it's unfortunate that he's not going to be playing this season. And I'm sitting here in the parking lot at Guaranteed Rate Field. I'm looking at the park, and I'm going back to his first game with the White Sox and how electric that was. And I remember going into the suite where his parents were that day and interviewing them before that game and how excited they were. And this girl comes into the suite to meet Michael's parents, and she was Michael's new girlfriend, and it's now his wife, Vanessa Morgan, and you just saw his future, and it looked so bright. And I still believe he has a bright future with the White Sox, but what has transpired since that incredible day when there were like 3,000 White Sox fans surrounding the bullpen just to watch him throw his warm-up pitches that day, and where we are now with Tommy John surgery, and then I'm going back to his only start. The last Sox game was played at Camelback Ranch in Glendale. Michael Kopech started that day. That was his one inning that he pitched for the White Sox. Threw a perfect inning, ended on a strikeout. And I thought when he walked off the field that day, I mean, like, here we go. And then we've got a pandemic. And you know, to try and speculate what is really going on here, I know Jim Spiegel's got a good article in The Athletic about, you know, some more about what's really going on behind the scenes. I don't believe if you take all that into account, maybe it doesn't have to do with depression or anxiety. There's just a lot. There's layers to the story. There's layers to Michael Kopech. So trying to answer fully what's going on with him, I just feel sad for him that his career is not going the way that he or anybody planned it. But that's also how life goes, too.
As you look at a guy like Michael, and he's been open as he talked about his life, do you feel like the perception on Michael Kopech has changed in the last 72 hours? Or that, no, I think everybody's got his back and he's got a pretty good insulated support system?
I don't know if, you know, what people were thinking in the last 72 hours. I'm sure there might be various opinions, very varied opinions about that. But the White Sox have his back. His teammates have his back. And, you know, if I was coming off Tommy John surgery, and I'm just speak for me, if I was coming back from Tommy John surgery and I am now asked to ramp it up quickly for a sprint of a baseball season during a global pandemic, I would probably have some questions to ask about for myself. Like, is this the environment? Is this the best environment for me to get back on the mound to? You know, and he's a human being. And I think we look at these guys like they're robots, and they just go out there, and there's no heart pumping inside their body. There's no blood coursing through their veins. They're just, you know, objects. But there's a real human being in there. And there's, I don't think it's as simple as one thing. I think that there's layers to Michael Kopech, and I think there are layers to his decision not to play. And when he comes back in 2021, you know, we can put all this behind. I mean, it's not really about us. It's about him. He can put this behind him, and I think he will be in a much better place to perform and at the level that he's expecting and the White Sox are expecting than coming into this kind of environment, which is like no environment we've seen in the history of sports. That's what we're talking about right now.
We're talking to Chuck Garfine, who's our White Sox insider here on ESPN 1000, and of course he's the main man on the White Sox beat at NBC Sports Chicago. Our Chuck, how does this affect the depth? We've seen the Cubs lose Jose Quintana. Don't get me triggered talking about that trade again. But
by the way, today's the anniversary.
Is today the anniversary of the trade?
3 years. I think it's today.
Jeez. Boy, would I like to go back 3 years. Holy smokes.
I'm sorry I'm laughing. I would not laugh, only the fact that I'm just talking to you about it. That's why I'm laughing.
Yes, you would. And that's okay.
No.
Because I would too if I was in your shoes.
Okay.
How does this affect the White Sox depth in their pitching staff? Because they could have used Kopech as an opener. They could have used him as a closer. They could have used him as a starter. Like, there was a number of things you can do with a guy throwing 101.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, we were all wondering how would they use him and what would he be able to do? You know, I think the expectation before this whole pandemic started was he was going to start in AAA and build his way up. And I think we have to also have to remember that there was going to be a building up process for him regardless. And now, okay, 60 game sprint, go. Like, what's that going to be? Or what would that have been for Michael Kopech? With no minor league system or season, I should say. They have depth, actually, in their rotation because they added Keuchel. They added you're adding Rodon in the equation, who seems to be doing really, really well coming back from Tommy John. Dane Dunning and Jimmy Lambert, two of their top pitching prospects after Michael Kopech, both coming off Tommy John, both are here and pitching, and they can be added into the mix. So even without Michael Kopech, the White Sox not only have depth, they have like really good options here, not only for like a season, but especially for a 60-game season when guys are trying to like slowly get to any kind of like 4, 5, 6-inning situation for themselves. So the Sox are, I mean, even without Kopech, I mean, you can never have enough pitching, but under these circumstances, I think the Sox are in pretty good shape. And I think Lopez is going to have a comeback season. I think Cease is as well. Giolito's the real deal. Keuchel I like, obviously, from his past. And now Rodon and Gonzalez, I'm liking what they can do here.
Chuck, the Tim Anderson charismatic way of playing the game, I love. Now, he's been great at coming on this show. We've developed a nice relationship. And I love the passion that this guy exudes defensively, running the bases, offensively, just having fun playing the game. Yesterday, he hit a home run in an inter-squad game, and there were people triggered that he flipped his bat, which I thought was awesome. Just have fun with it, man. We don't know where this season's heading. We don't know if we're going to play, not play, finish, not finish. What did you think of it?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Brad Keller of the Royals clearly does not like getting bat flipped by Tim Anderson.
Correct.
And if, you know, these were his teammates that were pitching to him, and he still bat flipped. And I would like to think that his teammates would not have a problem with him doing that. I mean, Edwin Encarnacion hit a home run off of Aaron Bummer, and he did the parrot. So you could say, oh, he's showing up Aaron Bummer. No, I just think that is just the personality coming out. And whenever he throws his bat, he's not throwing it like at the pitcher or at the opposition. He's throwing it like towards his dugout to fire them up. And that's all that is. So I thought that was great. It's an intra-squad game and he's bat flipping. I love that. I think it's great. So I go ahead.
I thought it was sensational because getting to know him, and you know him better than I do. You see him all the time, but getting to talk to him and be around him a little bit at the ballpark before we would do Sports Talk Live. Like, I really, really like this guy. I'd be like, I want that guy as a teammate because he has fun playing the game. I feel the same way about Javi Baez. He has fun playing the game. And I think we forget it's a game and it's entertainment.
Right, and it's not just having fun. It's being himself. And Javi Baez being himself. And the Tim Anderson that we are seeing today, outwardly, much different than the Tim Anderson who was a rookie with the White Sox and didn't feel comfortable being himself. But now, with years of experience, games under his belt, he can be himself. And who is that person? I mean, he's still evolving as a person, but he looks at other sports. He loved basketball growing up, and there's a lot more, you could say, personality that comes out in basketball games, and he wanted to bring himself and his personality to baseball, and a big part of that is the bat flip. And I know the traditionalists can be somewhat rigid about the history of the game and how the game has been played, but we are a society that is always moving, and if you want to say advancing, it's just always evolving to a certain extent, and Tim is one of those guys who is leading the charge to the new generation of the sport, and it is showing more personality, and he's got plenty of it.
Well, we love having you on this radio station. Obviously, you and I are brothers in broadcasting over at NBC Sports Chicago, but we love that you are a part of our radio station, and we look forward to you providing us amazing content throughout the baseball campaign, because I think this White Sox team, if they can get off to a good start, they got a real chance with that depth.
Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, they are starting off 3 with the Twins, 3 with the Indians. Let's go. I mean, they're going to know right off the bat where they kind of stand with these two teams, and I really feel good about this team, certainly for the future. We'll see what happens in 2020 because it's such a big unknown. And it's an honor to be on the station with you guys. And love your show. Love you, Cap. And looking forward to many more talks about the White Sox right here on ESPN 1000.
You're the best. Love you. Have a great one. Best to the wife.
All right. You too.
There you go. Chuck Garfine, NBC Sports Chicago, and he's our ESPN 1000 White Sox insider now, and it is great to have him on the station. The NBA bubble is open. I have some issues with some of the players in that bubble. We talk about what is going on inside it next.
Sports talk while you're on the clock. Cap and Company.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Rolling on ESPN 1000 with Danny and with Chris. I'm David Kaplan. Great to be back. Although I'm not down in the studio with the boys. The mayor said, you want the one of 15 states, you got to quarantine. I'm following the rules.
You good, Cap? You good?
All good. I feel like I've got to be, like we all know that I have focus problems at time. I feel like I've, like, exceptionally locked in. I've got the iPad open with the commercials. I've got the Teams app on my laptop. I've got the control box here. I got my phone open for a text from either of you guys. I got my printer right here. Like I feel like I'm locked in.
You are, Cap, locked in. But let us ask you a question. We've got this chat. So we have this My Teams thing where the three of us are on a chat. We're telling you different things to do during the show. We're, producing the show through a screen. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, you're texting us. Is it the text and the My Chat thing the two same things? We don't understand why all of a sudden now we're getting side texts.
It was just habit. Habit.
But you have the chat open in front of you.
We were just
communicating on it. You went to a different avenue to communicate when the communication lines were already open and being utilized.
Correct. You are 100% right. I cannot disagree with you at all.
We're wondering how focused you really are then. I mean, you're patting yourself on the back for being focused, yet you're texting us a side text when we're communicating via chat.
I leaned back and like took a deep breath. Like after we went to commercial, I went, whew. And I took a break like that. And as I was leaning back, I had a couple of other texts that had popped up on my phone. And then I went, I just want to text these guys and say, everything going good? I probably should have gone back to the Teams setup that we have. It was just habit.
No, I mean, you can do whatever you want, but I think Danny nailed it. I mean, how focused are you, really, if that's going through in your mind?
I'm exceptionally focused, Chris. I haven't been this
you,
focused
you do
in a long
sound
time.
A bit locked in today. I didn't know, Danny, that this is what it took, right? Well, I think Danny's very thrilled with the way that this has gone today.
I'm thinking I've scheduled a meeting with our boss, Mike Thomas, for 12:01 today to talk about perhaps you staying home forever.
Permanent quarantine.
I mean, you've never been this focused in 4 years.
That's it. Haven't even had time to really tweet.
No, it's been great.
That's it. So it's been good. I missed you guys. I miss being there.
Well, you know, Chris and I are having a good time together.
Yeah, we miss you bopping around the hallways here at 1000. I agree.
I listened to you guys every day last week, variations of Danny and Chris, Danny and Jesse, Chris and Jesse, whatever the case may be. Got up every morning, and I did like 6 to 8 miles. And it was already, by the time I hit the road at 6:30 in the morning, it's already like 90 degrees. It got to 116 there. And we came back Saturday. It was 119 and 120 Saturday and Sunday. I mean, like, I love heat. That's hot, man. That is hot. But it was great. I don't know if I've ever told you guys, walks are exceptionally underrated.
Where did you walk? Were there, like, nice hikes, or were you walking through strip malls?
No strip malls. No strip malls. We went on a hike one day. We drove an hour. And you go up into the mountains, and it went from like 108, all of a sudden it's like 86. And what a difference that was. And then it was about 5 miles up and back, and we went to a place called Suicide Rock in Idlewild, California. And let me just tell you something, man. It said it was a moderate hike. I turned to my wife like, okay, this rock looks like you could jump off of it. I'm done. That's it. And she's like, no, we haven't gotten to the point where there's the sign that says Suicide Rock. And so we kept climbing up there and finally reached it. But it was good, man, to be able to listen to you guys and go out and do my walks. If I didn't do the hike that day, or I did the hike that day, the rest of the time I would go walking. There was two golf courses right there. So I'd walk the golf course because it's so hot. Nobody's playing. There's nobody around. I literally saw very few people. And so it was great to be able to just get out and put the steps on. My goal was to get minimum of 15,000 steps a day, and I accomplished that. So it was good.
You know, I will say in some of the videos, I did see some of the great scenery in the background. There was like a majestic, beautiful, what do you call it? Just gorgeous in the background of one of your videos, a jack in the box. No, a jack in the box. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
it was majestic. You're it's such scenic items that you're shooting a video in front of a jack in the box.
So I was walking back.
Because there were no strip malls, right?
So I walked all the way down to what's called Indian Wells Tennis Auditorium or Stadium. It's where they have the big tennis tournament. Boyle was there for his birthday back in March, and it is beautiful, beautiful. And so I'm looking around, and then as I'm coming back, I don't know where I'm going. I just keep walking. I figure I'll find my way back to a street that I remember. And as I'm walking, I made a turn. I'm like, that's a Jack in the Box. Now, Fat Cap used to crush Jack in the Box tacos. Have you ever had those, Chris or Danny?
Yeah, you put them in the little bag. It's great.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh, right. Yeah. Danny, did you ever have those?
I never have.
Yeah.
They were, and I didn't, want like the deluxe taco?
Is Jack in the Box a taco place or
a burger place? No, it's a burger,
it's a burger place.
But you get the side tacos in the little bag. I think it's like two for a dollar or something cheap like that.
Right.
They have like a
deluxe taco that's got all this other stuff on it. Or they have, like Chris said, the regular ones. And I think they're like 99 cents a piece.
Oh, tiny tacos. I'm looking at the menu.
No, not the tiny ones. They're normal. They're normal size. Yeah, two tacos. What's the price? What's the price on that? Bob, what's the price? What do you got?
Let's find the nearest location.
And they're in Cap. They're in the little bag, and it's all greasy.
Yeah, they're
so
not
good.
In Chicago so anymore. Good. They used to be at the corner of Golf and Waukegan in like Niles or Morton Grove. And so my brother and I would drive there. Now I think it's a Popeye's chicken there. And I'm not a fried chicken guy. But it was Jack in the Box for a long time. And I remember distinctly Saturday nights late, we would drive over there, get, I'm talking like 30 tacos to split and just try to house them all.
You would eat 15 tacos in one sitting?
Yes.
Did you eat any while you were out there?
No, I didn't eat. My brother said to me, why don't you, I sent him that video. And he said, dude, you're on vacation. Go in there and buy like four of them. You don't have to get 15, but go in and get a bag of, they come two for whatever.
It's like $1.79 is what I'm seeing online.
Okay, so I didn't go. I walked again in that direction. I'm like, should I do it? Nah, I'm not going to do it. And I didn't. So I did not have any of the Jack in the Box tacos. And I don't believe there's a Jack in the Box anywhere in Illinois, certainly not in the Chicago area, that I know of. But they were awesome. Awesome. Just greasy. And Chris is right. They serve them in that little bag so you could hold the bag so the grease didn't get all over your hands. Oh, dude, they were spectacular. But I did my walks and listened to you guys.
It looks like the closest location would be, Cap, how about this? Let's drive to Indianapolis and get some bagged tacos.
See, why did they move out of Chicago?
I don't know.
I wonder. Like, what was the purpose of leaving Chicago? You got this huge metropolitan area, but you're going to go stay in Indianapolis? Come on, Jack in the Box, you're better than that. They were really good. So I took the video, and Fat Cap kept walking. So I did want to give a little shout out though to the Jack in the Box when I did the video. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Dermot on the north side. Hey, Dermot, what's up, man?
What's going on, Cap? How's things?
All good, kid. How are you?
I'm all right, man. It took me a while, but I wanted to thank you for your birthday wish you sent on Cameo at the end of May there.
Oh, there you go. I'm glad you had a good birthday.
Yeah, no, I had a great video. I had a great birthday. That video really pumped me up, man. Like, you spent some time on there, and I really wanted to thank you.
You're the best.
But what I wanted to ask was, with this shortened season coming up in the MLB, who do you think it will benefit? And I'm thinking this as each team takes care of their teams and there's no COVID aspect to this. Everyone's going to be healthy. I just want to know, who do you think would benefit, you know, the young White Sox and the getting older Cubs?
Well, look, if the Cubs get off to a good start, I really like what they have and the approach that they've brought. Now, if they get off to a slow start, they don't have the depth in starting pitching, even with the Kopech hit, that the Sox do. But the Sox have a bunch of guys who've never proven it at the big league level, whether that's Luis Robert or Dylan Cease. They've got some really, really good players. Their roster is littered with talent. They have to get off to a good start. You need Eloy Jimenez to get off to a good start. You need Tim Anderson to be the American League batting champion again. You need to have Madrigal get off to a good start. There's a bunch of guys that have to get off to good starts. Same with Lucas Giolito. But if those guys are healthy and they get off to a good start, boy, I really like that Sox roster a ton.
Cappy, the phones were just ringing off the hook. The listeners would like you to know that the Jack in the Box tacos can now be found at Burger King. So the same tacos you once loved at Jack in the Box can be purchased at Burger King.
Really?
That's what they're telling me.
Can you do a little research at the break and just look on like the Burger King website?
Where Burger King is?
Yeah, Burger King has tacos.
They have tacos. Yeah, that's a known thing. Yeah.
But the callers are saying they're the same ones, the same kind of the same taco that you loved.
Really?
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same exact style. Yeah.
Same style, but I don't know.
I don't think it's exactly the same taco from Jack in the Box. Does Burger King own Jack in the Box?
That's what I was going to say. Do they have a partnership? Are they having like a limited marketing agreement? Yeah, we'll carry your tacos over here. I don't know.
That's more questions than I can answer about fast food. But I did find a story that says Burger King versus Jack in the Box. Jack in the Box, which tacos are better? Yeah. And consensus is it's pretty close.
Yeah, and Burger King puts them in a bag, too. It's the same kind of style, right?
Correct. Yeah. They say the only difference is Burger King's more money.
See, this is great, Cap. We are now going on two full weeks here where we have Danny talking positively about food. It's great. This is fantastic.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
According to this story, the Burger King taco is a little bit smaller and more expensive.
Oh, you got to go for the bigger taco, right, Cap?
Got to go for the bigger taco. That Jack in the Box taco, now I kind of regret that I didn't even get like one little bag thing with two of them in it just to say I had them. But
I looked at the nutrition. Aside from the fact that the actual ingredients were made out of CRAP, nutritionally, all that would have been bad for you if you ate the two tacos, you would have had 32 grams of carbs. Other than that, not overwhelming
Pretty good. Not overwhelming calories.
It's just you would have had 32 grams of carbs in those
in one taco or two?
In two.
In two.
16 per taco.
Pretty good.
All right.
Wouldn't have been horrible for you. You would have survived.
I would have survived. All right, we have to take a fast time out. We'll come back, and we do have to get into this NBA bubble about what is going on inside next.
Did you miss some Cap and Company? Your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Rolling on ESPN 1000. So the NBA bubble is underway at the cost of $150 million to the league and the teams. They are going to try and pull off the impossible and play the completion of the NBA season with 22 teams down there and crown a champion sometime in late October to early November and then start the next season somewhere closer to Christmas, so maybe even January 1st, provided, of course, the virus makes all the rules. We'll see how it all handles it. But you've had several players coming out saying, my hotel room isn't good, the food isn't good, we're quarantined down here, and they just sound ridiculous. We have men and women who go off in the military and they're gone for a year and a half. They get some Zoom calls or a internet phone call. They eat rations, and they're out there defending our freedom. And we've got multimillionaires who can't stop whining and bitching that my hotel room isn't what I'm used to, and look at the food they're making me eat. Just stop. Stop sounding so out of touch and realize how blessed you are that you get to play a game for millions of dollars. And if you don't want to be there, then get the hell out. Pull out and don't stay. That's what I don't understand. I know Danny and Chris saw a lot of these comments, and we had Rajon Rondo, who, by the way, just got injured, so he's out. This is his 13th different hand injury, but prior to that, he's out there. Look at my Motel 6. It's not good. What'd you guys think of it?
Not to go fake news on you, Cap, here, but I feel like you have some built-up rage and anti-take towards these players. I don't know. I took in all the stuff from the bubble over the weekend from the NBA players. They seem like they're having a great time. I saw bass fishing. I saw guys golfing. I saw guys chugging beers.
A lot of beer chugging, which I love.
Yeah, Myers Leonard.
Yeah, J.J. Reich. I'm following the NBA as closely as I can from here, and I am unaware of this outrage from players who are saying that the conditions are so pitiful in Orlando. I don't know where this is coming from. Where you, because of Rondo's comments about Motel 6, that's one player.
No. There have been multiple players.
Who, when, and where? What?
Because Joel Embiid complaining about the food.
And they got on the plane, and he got there, and he's fine.
Guys are complaining about their food. Come on.
I don't know. You're giving a really fire take here on something that I don't think is really a story.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I truly look at what some of these players are saying. And then you have Ja Morant, Jaylen Brown coming out saying, hey, I don't know what people are talking about. The food's fine. The accommodations are fine. Yeah. And we'll play through. But there's plenty of guys that
LeBron spoke yesterday. Everything's okay. He's ready to go.
Anthony Davis seemed very happy.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Butler talking.
Did you guys not see the video that Jay Williams put out?
Yeah, but who
cares? Jay Williams, he's not there.
Jay Williams isn't there. Jay Williams is trying to get noticed, get people to listen, get likes. He's not necessarily formulating my opinion. There's a great Twitter handle, @NBABubbleLife.
Yeah.
This guy's in the bubble. He's documenting what's going on, and if you follow him on Twitter, which I highly recommend, you see tons of guys fishing.
Golf.
You see tons of guys hanging out. You see tons of guys golfing. When I put on SportsCenter last night, they didn't focus on the Rajon Rondos bitching about their Motel 6s. They showed guys actually practicing. It was so good to see basketball players on the court. Zion Williamson was a monster.
And if you want to talk about Rajon Rondo, let's talk about his broken thumb and how that's going to affect the Lakers here, because when you look at their point guard depth, you are going to be missing Rondo for 2 months. Whether or not he will come back at the very end of this is kind of doubtful at this point, so it hurts the Lakers on the court. I don't know. Maybe I'm the one that's missing all this, Danny, Cap, but I'm not seeing this outrage where all these spoiled NBA players complaining.
Stephen A. was very critical of him.
Stephen A.'s not an NBA player. Who cares what he says?
These guys, Stephen A., Jay Williams, all they want to do is make waves with their hot takes. They're hot takers. That's what they do. Like, okay, C.J. McCollum yesterday tweeted out his dinner. It looked like gourmet dinner, a nice piece of fish, some fresh vegetables, a salad, some gourmet chicken. Like, he wasn't complaining. He was saying, hey, guys, look, we're doing pretty well in here.
On Saturday night, I watched an IG video of Dwight Howard at the, like, tiki bar where he was getting his smoothie and his drink on. He seemed like he was having a great time.
The best part about Dwight Howard, you know how they have that DJ in there in the bubble?
Yeah, yes.
Dwight Howard went Saturday night to the DJ and he said he was the only guy there.
Right. He had the video in there, and he was on IG Live, and nobody else was there.
That was funny.
So I don't know why you're, like, enraged about this.
They just sound dumb and entitled. That's why.
It was only Rajon Rondo.
Because of a Motel 6 picture?
Rajon Rondo was the only guy that tweeted something out like that. And then some guy tweeted out his meal from the first day. And admittedly, his meal looked horrible. But that was the first day, and they corrected it. Since that point, everybody that's tweeted their food has looked good, and they've been positive about it. Rajon Rondo complained about his room being a Motel 6. Some would say karma's you know what.
Yeah, karma got him. But other than that, Cap,
I mean, your opinion's being swayed by Stephen A. Smith and Jay Williams.
I'm going to make a list for you guys.
I'm not interested in your list. And second of all, that picture of the bad food was a half picture of the food. It didn't show the protein that also came with the meal.
No, we did see the protein, and that protein looked horrible. Remember, we talked about that, I think, on Thursday.
You did, because I was listening.
The protein looked horrible in that meal.
But it sounds like you have pent-up anger and rage for NBA players for no reason at all. They're enjoying some bass fishing.
Absolutely not. I just don't like hearing guys who are privileged beyond privilege to make the millions of dollars they make, and they earn it. They're great players. When I hear multiple guys complain about the food,
did you hear Pat Beverly?
Pat Beverly is a warrior from Chicago.
Yeah. Did you hear Joakim Noah?
I did.
Okay. Those are guys who I enjoy their opinions on.
Those are two of my favorite players. But you look at Rondo. He's injured his hand or wrist.
Who cares about Rondo? 13,
I do, because he affects the Lakers. 13 different hand or wrist injuries, 11 to the right hand, 2 to the left hand, not including now in Orlando. He's missed 55 games with these ailments. He's now out 6 to 8 weeks on his right thumb. I remember when we were sitting and Danny made money on it and Chris and I did not. I remember, Danny, correct me if I'm wrong, that Rajon Rondo, after the Bulls had a 2-0 lead on the Celtics in the playoffs a few years ago, Rajon Rondo breaks his thumb. You find out because you get a release or somebody tips you, you make a bet immediately on the Celtics, and by the time Chris and I got to react, the game was off the board, right?
That is correct. True story.
Yep, I completely remember. I don't remember what year that was, but that was back in the day when he got hurt 3 or 4 years ago. I'll never forget it. Danny's like, you guys better get down on this right now. And boom, I try at break, locked out. Danny made the money because they didn't win another game. 312-332-3776. Also, Woj has been suspended for 2 weeks. I just don't understand why you would write back to a U.S. senator and drop the F-bomb. Like, what is the purpose of that? You can be stern. You can be strict, direct. I don't appreciate your comment. Whatever the case may be, why he was triggered. To drop the F-bomb on a U.S. senator makes no sense to me. I don't get it. So now he can't tweet for 2 weeks, so no Woj bombs for 2 weeks. And it was funny to see, I don't know if you guys saw, but a bunch of players are going, Shams Charania or Woj, who's better? And they were all weighing in. Did you guys see that? I thought it was hilarious.
I did not. All I saw about the Woj stuff was LeBron tweet out free Woj.
Yeah, and Maria Taylor also came out with a supportive tweet about her friend and colleague, Adrian Wojnarowski.
Maria Taylor, LeBron. The LeBron one's probably a bigger tweet.
It was, but to have somebody who works with you at ESPN also come out and say that, I thought that was pretty cool. I did. Let's take a quick time out. We'll get some of your calls. 312-332-3776. It's Cap and Company with Danny and Chris. I'm Cap, ESPN. Hey, this hour is brought to you by the Home Loan Experts. The Home Loan Experts have been in the mortgage industry for 17 years now and have never seen interest rates this low. How much money can they save you? Visit thehomeloanexperts.com.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So the Washington football team is getting a new nickname. I found a few things curious in their announcement this morning. They have not yet announced what that name is going to be, but they did say that they are going to be changing the name. Apparently, as they work through some trademark issues, they have delayed saying exactly what that name will be. But their press release, I don't know if Danny and Chris saw it, but their press release, the first thing they mention is not their fans, not their players, their sponsors. Come on, man. How about first put the fans? Even if you don't mean it, do it. And of course, it's on their old team nicknames, stationery, like just Washington football. That would have been a great way to introduce that we're moving on from this nickname that has so many people triggered. But they didn't. Danny, I got the name that they should pick, I think. The Red Tails. Have you heard of that one?
I've seen that, the Red Tails. I think there was actually, I'm trying to find the email. I have odds on their next name, and the Red Tails, I think, was the leader in the clubhouse.
The Red Tails, according to historians, were a unit of black fighter pilots in World War II, back when the military was still segregated. The Red Tails, otherwise known as the Tuskegee Airmen, which there was a great movie that Ron Howard put out, is the nickname of the first black unit to fly combat airplanes during World War II. I think that would be an awesome nickname.
The odds for the Red Tails are 3-1. The odds for the Generals are 4-1. The Warriors are 4-1. The Presidents are 5-1. The Red Wolves are 6-1. The Lincolns are 7-1, and the Washington Monuments are 8-1.
Interesting. I would think the Red Tails make a lot of sense, but we'll find out as soon as they're ready to finalize their trademark. I would think they'll keep the same color scheme, don't you guys think? You don't have to change the colors, right?
Yeah, I would guess they're going to. I mean, who knows? Maybe they change everything.
And go with a whole new. Now, their address of the football team is Redskin Way. So I would think they're going to have to ask the city where the offices are, can we please change our address? Like, there's a whole lot's got to go into this. Nobody's going to be selling their merchandise anymore. So all that has to get changed. Like, there's a lot that goes into this. Obviously, everything that the players wear, that the coaches wear on the sidelines.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Take it away.
From Sham Sharania, Rockets guard Russell Westbrook says he has tested positive for coronavirus and is in quarantine. Russell Westbrook would be and is the biggest name NBA player to test positive.
So what's newsworthy here, Cap, is over the weekend, people pointed out that James Harden and Russell Westbrook both did not depart with the Houston Rockets to Orlando. So they are not with the team. It was then reported that those individuals would make their own accommodations to get there, which is certainly okay. You could take a private jet if you wanted to get there. But thus, we go back to that initial report. It seems that the reasoning why Westbrook is not involved was because before the testing that they had leading up to leaving to go to Orlando, he tested positive. So Russell Westbrook, the biggest name in the NBA to test positive for COVID-19. In his statement, he makes sure to point out that the virus is serious. Be safe and mask up. He's doing well, and he is in quarantine. And after his quarantine, you have to test a whole bunch of times and pass those tests to then be reincorporated back into the bubble or in the bubble for the first place and back with his teammates. So he's expecting to play with the Rockets, but now he's in quarantine, and we'll go from there when he's done.
We also had a big-name baseball player who tested positive over the weekend. That's Aroldis Chapman of the Yankees. So they've had three of their players test positive, and you know, we hope that they're all healthy and that they can get back with their team as soon as possible. But that's a real blow to the Yankees. They've got, you know, maybe the best closer in the game, certainly one of the top five. They have a starting pitcher, I believe, in Severino that has been out. So they've got their share of issues that they have to deal with. So
the Russell Westbrook thing's interesting to see how, you know, we don't know how people really recover from this. You know, is he going to recover quickly enough and have the lung capability and capacity to be able to play NBA games at the highest level? It's incredibly interesting that to follow how he's going to recover from this in a timely fashion to join his team and be ready to play in playoff basketball.
And also, hopefully, as teams get to Orlando, hopefully the prepared nature of the NBA setting this all up and testing ahead of time, hopefully that they catch the individuals who have it, and then those people can quarantine, and the people who get into the bubble in Orlando are A-okay, and it's nothing to worry about once they get in there. See what I'm saying? Like, the process seemed to have worked in this situation.
It did, and I guess it's a good thing to see that the safety net, as you said, is working. And look, as long as we can keep everyone healthy, it's great to have live sports back. I know there are a lot of doubters out there going, there's no way they could pull this off. But the NBA seems confident that they can. The NHL seems confident they can. And we're going to get some positive tests. That's just what happens when you're dealing with a pandemic. So hopefully we can keep as many as possible safe and that they can play sports. I just, like baseball, you could socially distance anyway. Football is the one that really scares me.
See, I think if I had to put my money down, if FanDuel came to me and said, all right, bet your money on this, I would put my money down on the NBA season going off without a hitch. Now, once they're in the bubble, if everybody obeys the rules, the NBA is going to be able to play basketball. Baseball is a different story because these guys are living in their own homes. They're traveling to different ballparks. They're out of a bubble. I bet less likely on the baseball season actually having a champion crowned in 2020 than I would the basketball season.
Really?
Yeah, they're in a bubble, Cap. If they're in the bubble and they're following the rules and they take it serious, then they should be fine. But baseball players are at home. They're going out to dinners. They're hanging out with friends. They're traveling to ballparks.
I don't think they're going out to dinners like you think they are. I don't. I've been told by people that I trust who are tier one employees with the Cubs that they met and they said, guys, just telling you, right now, we're not going to dinners. In fact, did you see the thing from Carlos Correa? Carlos Correa, his wife was speaking. She was Miss Texas in 2016. She said, my life was absolutely getting my hair done on a regular basis, my manicures, my pedicure. And he said to her, that's all off. We're not getting haircuts. We're not doing any of that. It's wake up. They both work out. He goes to the park. He plays baseball. He comes right back. Groceries are delivered to the house, contactless delivery. He said, that's just the way we're going to choose to live in this family. And she's like, I'm all in.
Yeah, so, but Cap, I hate to disagree with you. Someone told us on your show last week that he was out to dinner and saw baseball players.
Lots of them, too.
Lots of them.
Cubs, too.
Yeah. I mean,
John Lester Cubs.
Like, since they've started training
last week.
Yes.
Last week.
Jesse Rogers.
On your show.
Said he walked up to Lester without a mask, and we gave him blank for it.